Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We trust that you're going to be blessed by listening to this message, that you will be encouraged, inspired into everything that God has planned and purposed for your life. So enjoy.
In front of the people, he still wanted to demonstrate that through miracles. Amen. And we're a church who believes in miracles, where God divinely, supernaturally intervenes in our lives. And I believe that God wants to raise the faith temperature. He's being kind to us, and week by week he's building and growing our faith, but to the point where miracles become an everyday occurrence in our lives, where we believe and we expect to see what we know if Jesus was stood here, we would see. Amen. The power of the kingdom of God. Paul said, my message and my preaching are not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And we want to see that demonstration. I'm believing for that every time we come together. Amen. So whatever you need to happen in your life, believe. Go for it. Amen. Well, I've got essentially a simple word this morning. And, you know, the gospel is simple, isn't it? I think God never intended for this Christian life for us to be complicated. And yet somehow through churchiness, it can get really complicated. And God just wants to bring the simplicity of truth. And I was thinking about these questions. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And I think as a minister, in, you know, the last however many years, the most common question that I get asked when people come and they want us to pray, me to pray with them or to just spend time with them, the most common question that I get asked is, will you pray for me that I know what I'm called to? What's the purpose of my life? It's the big question that actually, I know it's the question that I asked that caused me to become born again. Because I looked at my future as a 17-year-old girl, completely unchurched and outside of God. And I thought, what is the plan? Is there a plan? Is there a purpose? Am I just an amoeba that's developed? Cells that have just come together sort of haphazardly and randomly? Or is there a purpose and a plan? Is there a destiny? That's quite a Christian word. But there's a sense of, the word destiny for me has a sense of pregnancy, a sense of potential, of opportunity. And of course, we know that God has not just a plan, but a purpose for each one of us. And I guarantee you that when you think about your own life, wherever you are on that journey right now, the plan that you think and the purpose that you think that God has for your life, it's so much bigger than that. It is so much bigger than that. Amen. So we will come back to this question, and particularly today we're going to look at the purpose being equipped, because we are on a journey as Kingdom Faith London where God is equipping us for the purpose corporately. And God has a plan for us individually, and he has a plan for us together as a body, as a group of people. Otherwise, why come together? There is a plan. There's something that God wants to do through us as a people that he can't do through us on our own. Just as the vice versa is true. There's things he wants to do through you that he can't do through anybody else. So he's equipping us for this purpose. The bigger answer to these questions are, we're here to love God and to be loved by him. Simply. To love God and to be loved by him, and to love people, to reach out and love others with that same love that we've received. If we just lived out of that revelation every day, our lives would be blessed. Just that alone. Amen. Now, clicker work. Ah, it helps if you push the right button, doesn't it? A builder needs tool and equipment to build. Bricks, cement, a trowel, a hard hat. There he is. A builder. He needs tools. He needs equipment. And they're specific to his purpose, to what he needs to do. A businessman, a businesswoman, they need tools. Maybe we've got some businessmen and women in the room. So what do you need for the tools of your trade? A laptop, maybe? Maybe a briefcase, a mobile phone? Maybe a suit and a tie or some high heels, if you're a lady? And meetings, they're tools to get the job done. And there's some images to, and the coffee. Yeah, maybe that is the important one for the businessman. Coffee. But these are all, they're different tools to the builder because it's a different purpose. This is not rocket science this morning. I told you it was simple, and it really is a simple word. A nurse. Let's look at a nurse. A nurse needs tools. A nurse needs a uniform. A thermometer, maybe. Bandages. A bed. And I found this picture, which gives all different types of uniforms for different nurses, medical people. And the uniform is important, isn't it? Because if you were in hospital and someone walked in their jeans or their trainers and their jeans and their sweat top and said, I've just come to administer your drugs, you might sort of question, are you skilled? Are you a doctor? Are you a nurse? Why? Because he didn't have the uniform on. So the uniform, the tools, if you like, are part of the purpose. What about a soldier? And of course, soldiers are, Paul talked about this biblically. So they need tools, they need equipment to fight, to fulfill their purpose. A uniform again, helmet, boots, supplies, ammunition, a gun. Just look at this picture. I mean, this picture says a lot to me. They're loaded now. Look at all the kit. Just is everywhere. And essentially, they are a walking piece of equipment. They've got everything that they need on their physical being when they're out on the battlefield, as these guys are. They need everything. Maybe they've got a toothbrush in there somewhere. Stuff for their personal care, their supplies to eat, maybe a compass, a whistle, a torch, a knife. They've got what they need to survive, and not just to survive, but to do their job, to fulfill their purpose. And they're loaded down with it. Notice their heads as well. Their heads particularly have a uniform. Have a piece of equipment that's essential. And actually, quite a lot of uniforms come with headgear. The headgear is really important. In biblical times, when Paul spoke about soldiers, this is the image that he had in his mind. He didn't have that image. He wasn't thinking that. He was thinking that. Because that was a soldier of his time. But again, they've got the headgear, they've got the armour, they're fitted out, ready for battle, ready to fight, ready to fulfil the purpose for who they are. We are created for purpose. Again, this is not rocket science. Builders, business professionals, nurses, soldiers, they all need to be equipped for that purpose, not just to function in a job. And this is a really important thing. I haven't mentioned the word job, because God doesn't give us a job in that sense. He gives us purpose in life. Each one of us has purpose. Just think about eternity for a moment. We live in the pinprick of time. That's all it is in the grand scale of eternity. Time, however long that is, and we know that there was a beginning, there was a day when God formed the earth, and we know that there is an end point to time, which is actually, the Bible talks about it being a fearful day. Fearful in the sense that it's full of reverence and awe, but also fearful for those who don't know the Lord. And so in this pinprick of time that we're in, God has a purpose for each one of our lives. And it's the fundamental human question that's there in every person. What's my purpose? Now, for many of you, you have a sense of that purpose, that you're in it right now, that you're in your purpose. You know, you've got your uniform on in the world sense. You've got a professional setup that you're in. You've got your job. But your job's not your purpose. Your purpose is different. Your job might be the tool to fulfill part of your purpose, maybe a big part of it. And I want to really honour every one of you that's out there in the professional world, in your job, in the workplace, being who you are in that place. Because when Jesus came and he trained and equipped those disciples, he drew them close, but it was of the purpose of thrusting them out, of saying, now go. Go out and fulfill this purpose. Take this mission that I've begun and let's see it go further. The world defines people by what they do. How true is that? You go into a social setting anywhere, maybe with your job, maybe in any setting. What's the first, one of the first things people say to you? Oh, what do you do? Why? Because we're conditioned to define people by what they do in the world. So if someone says to you, oh, well, I'm a builder, there's a whole social box that maybe you'll put them in, because they say they're a builder. As if they say to you, no, I'm a doctor or I'm a lawyer, maybe you put them in this box in your mind over here. But as Christians, the Word of God, the Bible, and God himself defines us by who we are. By who we are. Not by what we do. Now, that's not to undermine what we do. That's not to say that what we do isn't important, because it really is. What we do is hugely important in fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. But it's almost like I felt God say, just take a step back from all the doing and just think about the why, the purpose. Because as Christians, we are defined by who we are. And what we do as Christians should always come out of who we are. It should always come out of that place. So actually, even your job should come out of a sense of, this is what God has called me to right now. This is where he's positioned me. Whenever anybody comes and talks to me about getting a job, I know with Faith, and it's brilliant testimony, she's got two jobs. We've been praying for weeks for the right job for Faith. She's now got two. So she can choose which one is best. And they're both good, aren't they? So she's got to choose out of two good jobs. But I remember when she came to me and she was like, can we pray? Can we stand? I wasn't praying for a job for Faith. I was praying God position her. God position her for purpose. Position her with the people that you know you want her to be reaching out to. Because our jobs facilitate the purpose that God has for us. So never kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Despise your job in the world. It's a gift from the Lord to enable you to fulfill your purpose. It's a gift from him to position you. It might not feel like that, but I guarantee you, every single person on the planet feels exactly the same about their job at times. There isn't a job on the planet, I don't think, where You're not going to have days where it doesn't feel a challenge. It doesn't feel hard. It doesn't feel like it's not going the way I thought it would go. Or is this really what my life is all about? And you see, if we look at the job, we will get discouraged sometimes if we think that's my purpose. But it's not your purpose. Your purpose in this pinprick of time is much bigger. It's much greater. In one sense, God's preparing you for himself. But he's also doing a work through you in that preparation as you are transformed more and more to be like him. The Bible says that we are, it's a process. As we yield to him every day, that we're being changed. We can't see it. Maybe others see it more than we see it ourselves. That we're being changed every day. We're being fit for the purpose, the ultimate purpose, to be with him. And on that journey to bring others with us. So we live out of purpose, not function. You see, a nurse, a builder, a businessman, maybe put your profession in there if it's different. You can just go to work, clock in, do your job and clock out, can't you? Fill a function. Richard Branson from Virgin, he says about his company, he said, it's not about the customers, it's about my staff. If I look after my staff will look after the customers. Sorry about that, I mentioned Virgin, not Sky. Nathan's a Sky employee, for anyone who didn't know. But you see, he clocked into something. It's about people. It's about the people. It's not about clocking in and out. Because if people feel invested in, if people feel believed in, it will pull the best out of them. And in whatever scenario you're in from a function point of view, if you allow in that place it to become part of your purpose, the best of you will come out. The best of you will come out in that scenario. And others are blessed in that. Others are so blessed in that. So who are you? Well, I've just put a couple of things up here. A child of God. Salt of the earth. Light of the world. His witness. His disciple. These are all things that the New Testament talks about who you are. If you are a born again believer in Jesus, you've surrendered your life to him, then these things are true of you. And they're not about what you do, they're about who you are. Even the witness is who you are. There are actions that flow out of all of these things, but ultimately that's who you are. And Paul again spoke about being a soldier of Christ. He spoke of his fellow soldiers in Christ. Maybe you've never seen yourself as a soldier. That's not what you do, it's who you are. You're a soldier. Now, Paul, bear in mind, Paul, when he spoke this to the church, he was a philosopher. He was a teacher. Before he got born again on the road to Damascus, when he had that encounter with the Lord, he was a teacher, a Pharisee. He was the equivalent of, I don't know, a bishop. In the Pharisaical sense, or a chief rabbi. So he wasn't a soldier, and yet this became part of his mantra, we are soldiers in Christ. Why? Because he recognized his purpose and what was going on in the spirit. In order to fulfill that purpose, he would need to pick up his tools like a soldier. So God equips us with the tools to operate out of who we are in him. God equips us. There's an equipping that comes into our lives. And as I've said, we're on this journey. The prayer that we've begun this morning when we were praying just before the meeting, I had a picture of and that scripture about stretching your tent curtains wide from Isaiah. And it says about strengthening your stakes. There are some stakes that have gone in the ground. when we prayed just before Christmas outside Parliament, or just after Christmas, sorry, in the New Year, and we stood in the gate of the city and of the nation, and we stood all around the North-South Circular, and we made those decrees and we prayed. Stakes went in the ground, spiritually. Every time you've responded to the Word of God each week, and you've said yes to God, and you've positioned yourself, a stake has gone in the ground. That stretching out has gone forth. And there's an equipping that's taking place. And this coming year, we've got several things, and we'll be talking about them as the weeks go on, where we're beginning to build into the life of the church more opportunities for us to be equipped. Why? So that we can fulfill the purpose that God has for us individually and as a church. Putting on a nurse's uniform does not equip you or make you a nurse. Who would agree with that statement? Now, they're not nurses, are they? They look like nurses, but why do we know they're not nurses? Well, because they're children. But sometimes, as Christians, we can put things on. We think, well, I'm that now. But we've not really been equipped. We've not really been trained. We're still operating in childlike or childish, not childlike, because we should be childlike, but childish ways. You know, a bunch of immature soldiers would be dangerous to themselves. Not to the enemy, which is, you know, when soldiers go into boot camp, the sergeant majors really take them to task to bring them into a place of discipline and actually of maturity. And so this journey of equipping is a journey of maturing, of God growing us, of God actually answering our prayers. It can be a painful process. Nobody, it says in Hebrews, likes discipline. But it's training us for holiness, to be like God, to be fit for purpose, for the purpose that he has for us. So putting on the uniform doesn't necessarily equip us. I watched a movie, it was ages ago, by Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can. Has anyone seen that movie? What an incredible man he was, because it's based on a true life story. And this guy, he ends up working for the FBI or the CIA, whichever one it is, FBI, because as a young man, he's driven to basically please his parents, to try and prove that he's worthy, that he's better, that he's lifted out of his circumstances. And he fakes becoming a doctor. He fakes becoming a pilot. He fakes all these things and he gets away with it. It's the amazing thing. So he ends up not flying, but getting onto planes and flying all over the place. He ends up going into hospital as a doctor and all these different things. But you see, when it came to actually flying the plane, you wouldn't want to put him at the controls, would you? If you were lying on the theatre table for an operation, you wouldn't want him to come along with the scalpel, would you? Why? Because he's not trained. He's not equipped. He might have the uniform on and you can fool people for a little while. And, you know, in this Christian life, we want to live such a life and be such a group of people together that we're living a genuine life that's real and tangible. So when people touch us, they don't just think, oh, no, it's fake. It's not really. You kind of got the uniform on. You've got the band. You've got the lights. You've got the, you know, but is it really the gospel? And we're contending for the gospel, for the true gospel of Jesus Christ to be expressed among us, pure and simple. Amen? Because that is what people can trust. And sadly, that's not always the case. It's not always the case. It's always heartbreaking when you hear of Christians falling or different situations happening where there's a lack of integrity. It's heartbreaking because it's not God's heart. The nurse needs first to be trained in understanding how to be a nurse. Again, simple but true. We need to learn to live as a child of God, as an overcomer, and to put on our uniform every day. Ephesians 6 talks about this, putting on the armour of God. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, put your armour on every day. My answer is don't take it off at night. You know, just keep it on. Pray prayers where you are dressed, ready for service, where you're ready every day to respond, whatever situation. More recently, I found myself, when I talk about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, I found myself saying, if it's the Lord's will, if it's the Lord's will, I'll do that. If it's the Lord's will, we'll go to Italy. If it's the Lord's will, we'll do this. Why? Because we can't take tomorrow for granted. Actually, Jesus said there's enough grace for today because he wants us to live out of a sense of purpose every day, every single day. If you were to count up all your days, and the Bible says they're counted, they're actually written down. The days for your life. Think about that. There's a journal in heaven somewhere that's got your name and it's got the number of days written. They're limited. Therefore, every day is precious. Every day is a potential opportunity. Amen. So let's not take tomorrow and put off today till tomorrow what we need to do. Let's not think, no, I'll get my act together next week or the week after, or I'll be more full of faith or more full of prayer, or I'll step out next week and do this. No, let's do it today. Let's live with that sense of destiny because we actually don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. Your uniform speaks. Just as that nurse, that soldier, that businessman, their uniform speaks. If a builder turned up to your bed in hospital, you'd be like, no, you're the wrong profession. Where's the nurse? Well, your uniform speaks in Christ because you wear a uniform every day. Scripture talks about us being clothed with Christ. We're clothed with Christ. Put on faith. Put on hope. Put on love. Put on righteousness. He is our righteousness. Put on a garment of praise. These are clothes, spiritual uniform that we wear. Why? So that when you walk in the room, people go, just like when a nurse walks in the room, you're like, oh, it's a nurse. When you walk in the room, hope walks in the room. Praise walks in the room. Peace walks in the room. Faith walks in the room. Justice walks in the room because you're clothed with him. You're clothed with who he is in your life. And that changes the atmosphere. It changes. Why? Because the uniform breeds confidence in the ability and expertise, doesn't it? When the doctor comes in his doctor's outfit and you need a doctor, you have confidence. You're like, right, the doctor's here. I've got confidence now. And it's the same for us as Christians in the purpose that God has for us, where he's positioned you, each one of us. When we walk into a situation, we bring that confidence. People might not define it in the same way, but we know in the spirit that that's what's taking place. So that as you walk into your purpose every day, you bring what your uniform, what you're wearing, if you like, who you are. The place of prayer for a Christian is the place of equipping. Just go back. Come on. No, I'll go to that. So nurses go to medical school, builders go to technical college, soldiers go to boot camp. There's a place where we go to be equipped. For us as Christians, that's on our knees. Metaphorically, it's the place of prayer. There are things that only God can work in you. They only come out of your relationship with Him. As a church, we're putting things in place, and I'll come to that in a moment, and then I'm actually going to finish and we're going to pray. We're going to start releasing some things over our purpose. We can position things for you. And that's our role. That's part of our purpose in God. As pastors here, as leaders, to help equip you. To help create the environment. Enable situations where you can come and do what? Meet with Him. But it's only in that place with Him that actually you truly get equipped. Because we can believe with you and we can believe for you. But the biggest breakthrough comes when you grab a hold of something in God yourself. Faith is infectious. And it's right that we stand with one another, because there are times in all of our lives when we don't have faith. When we doubt. You know, maybe when I spoke about the miracles, and you, maybe doubts came in your head and all the reasons why not. Doubt is not sin. It only becomes sin when you act on your doubt. Doubts come into all of our minds, but that's why we take authority over them and we choose to believe. Most of you know of Bethel, you know, the ministry in America. It's a huge ministry. They're known for their miracles, known for signs and wonders. One of the key leaders of that is Eric, Bill Johnson's son. Seen probably thousands of miracles. He's deaf. Don't know if you know that. He's deaf. If you listen to him speak, that's why he speaks as he does. So here we have this incredible ministry. Bill Johnson, known for all these miracles, and yet his own son is deaf. And his own son being raised up, seeing this incredible move of God. Now they, if anyone could doubt, it could be them. But what have they done? They've said, the word of God is true, no matter what my experience says to me. I am still going to believe the word of God. So when those doubts come, just say, no matter what my mind says, no matter what my experience says, the word of God is still true. And they have documented testimonies of miracles of, well, they are extraordinary miracles of grace and of healing in people's bodies and lives. Our doubts are only doubts. We can choose to believe the word of God. Amen? So we go to our knees. We go to this place in our relationship with God where we allow Him to speak to us. We allow Him on the inside of us to begin to show us our purpose. The reason in these however many days are listed for you here in the earth to fulfill that purpose. Our purpose goes way beyond that into eternity. But there's something that He wants us to do in this place. Now, we're going to be starting a prayer academy in March. We're just getting these dates confirmed at City Temple Conference Centre. This module one's going to start. It's going to be once a month. And this is going to form, this is part of us stretching our tent curtains wide as a church, stretching out a bit, beginning to put things in place so that we can pray together corporately. It's one of the things that we want to be able to do. So this will form the beginnings of our monthly corporate prayer times. Okay, I want to encourage every one of us to come to this. And module one is 5 weeks. There's three modules actually in the course. This course effectively comes out of 20 years of, or 25 years of our walk with God. For Jonathan and I, Jonathan, who was the previous director of the Bible school, myself as a lecturer down at the Bible school in Horsham, developing what works in the life of the students. And, you know, I think you know us well enough, those of you who know us, that we want it to be very practical, very real. These times are going to be more workshoppy as opposed to just coming and sitting and listening, so that we are going to be praying, we're going to be activating, we're going to be mobilizing, helping you to get the answers to the questions that you have in your prayer life, so that you can begin to see God on the inside in the real ways that you need to see him. And this phrase, firebrands, the Lord's just been speaking to me for several months about. A firebrand is a person who's very passionate about a particular cause. There's actually quite a lot of negative connotations. A radical, a revolutionary, troublemaker, agitator, rabble-rouser, soapbox orator, incendiary. There's a bit of a negative connotation there, and obviously God doesn't want us to be troublemakers or incendiaries in a wrong way. The church has done that, not us particularly as a church, but the church generally has been that, and God doesn't want that. But he wants us to be a troublemaker to the enemy. I want to make trouble for the enemy, definitely. I that's part of my purpose every day when I get up. Watch out, enemy, because I'm going to make trouble for you today. Because I'm coming to plunder your kingdom. I'm coming to bring light and salt and truth into darkness. Amen. And this word firebrand, it conjures up. That's actually a firebrand. It was quite hard to find images, but it's something that doesn't go out. And God wants us so alive on the inside that we don't ebb and flow to the point where we go out. And we need someone else to come and ignite us. No, we're the ones who are the firebrands who are constantly igniting things, constantly sparking things, so that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, even within your job, and I'll put that in inverted commas, that you're the one that your boss comes to for the ideas, for the wisdom. God wants to give incredible wisdom in the workplace, to unlock situations that the world can't unlock. Firebrands do that. They carry something on the inside. It's part of our DNA that we carry that. This just gives you a little idea of some of the things we're going to look at. So this term, and then throughout this year, and then into the autumn, how to position yourself for a breakthrough. What about praying the promises that you've got, praying them so that you know how to pray them right through to seeing them happen, because God wants you to. How to lead in prayer. Intercession. There's a different kind of prayer that we need to pray when we're praying for the lost, or we're praying to see breakthrough in mission or in real deep need in people's lives. And Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine. You know this scripture well if you've been around church. If you haven't, it's an incredible testimony and a word to the church, to the people of God, saying, rise up, stand up, arise and shine. And it goes on to say, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And that word shine means be set on fire, be a firebrand, burn with something, be set alight. So that on the inside, who you are can be seen. Let that uniform that you have propel you into a place of position. Because your uniform propels you into a place of position. That's why that guy in Catch Me As You Can could get into scenarios, because he had the uniform. Now, he had a problem when he got to then fulfill the job, but he evaded it. God wants to use your uniform in the spirit to propel you into positions where you can fulfill your purpose. Someone needs a miracle. Someone needs an answer. Someone needs wisdom. Someone needs hope. Someone needs help practically. Someone just needs kindness. Needs someone to be kind to be loving, to be thoughtful, to be there for them. All of those things are part of what this uniforming God gives us, positions us so that we can then come into fulfilling our purpose. Amen. Let's stand together because we're going to pray. And in these last few moments, just right now yourself, maybe that place where we started, right at the beginning, that question is there in your heart. Who am I? What's my calling? What's my purpose? Maybe that's a big question for you. You look at what you think is your life ahead before you. Maybe if you've lived a few years, you look at the years ahead and think, well, the years behind have been good, but there's a lot more I want to see. Maybe if you're young, you just think, well, I haven't really started living yet. I know my life hasn't begun yet, in the sense of there's so much more ahead that I'm going for. Wherever you are now, I believe the Lord just wants to speak over you. His purpose. His purpose. Can we just have some music up the front? Is that all right? Thanks. Right before the Lord now, and if you're not used to talking to God, it's just like talking to your best friend, where you share heart. Talk to him. Lord, I'm not sure what my purpose is, or I have a real sense of that I want more in my life. Equip me, God. Show me what that is. Let him speak to you now. Not with some big writing on the wall. I think that's what we look for sometimes. But actually just with a knowing sense, God wants to affirm every person in this room. You're not an accident. You're not something waiting to happen. Actually, my hand is on you. My hand is on you. I'm drawing you personally into a place of purpose and life that goes way beyond anything you could live for yourself, want for yourself. And in that place now, just receive from him. Thank him. You can thank him that he has a plan. He's outworking that purpose.
We trust that you have been encouraged by the word today. And we pray over each and every one of you that God will do a work, a sovereign work in your life. If you want to ask further questions, then please get in touch with us. All the details are on the website, www.kingdomfaith.com. where you can contact us for any further information. God bless you.